following is a conversation in a series of podcasts discussing topics and issues dealing with high technology crime and digital evidence recovery. These podcasts are presented by SEARCH, the National Consortium for Justice Information and Statistics. This series is made possible through funding from the Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance. Hi, I'm Elizabeth Tao, a high-tech crime training specialist at SEARCH. With me today is Cynthia Hetherington. Hi, Cynthia. Can you tell us about your background?
Hello, Elizabeth. It's great to be here. First thing I think about when I think about the background is I pretty much started by being a trainer at SEARCH, I think, when Al Gore invented the internet. I come from a library science background. I have a graduate degree in information science, and I also have a graduate degree in technology. And I've combined those two things to really get a great understanding of how information is stored, disseminated, used, interpreted, and then rehashed back into a system. So all that great knowledge has gone together, and for the last 20 or so years now, I've been, I'm the owner of a private detective agency that specializes in internet investigations. I also trained, starting with SEARCH almost 20 years ago, law enforcement all over the globe, how to use the internet for investigative uses. So we've got a lot of time in this. We've written several books, Business Background Investigations, The Manual to Online Public Records, and Web of Deceit actually just came out this year. And I've got a newsletter that's been in publication for 11 years now called Data to Know, Internet and Online Intelligence Newsletter.
Perfect. Well, you definitely have a background that is going to be beneficial for the investigators and law enforcement who are listening to this podcast. So I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure.
This podcast is the second segment with a focus on online investigative tools. We felt that it was most important for the investigators to have this information, and having information from multiple sources would help them in their investigation. Cynthia, being able to find relevant online information in a timely manner during an investigation is critical. How do you make sure your search results are relevant?
Well, relevancy is based on your need and type of investigation you're doing. Sometimes the most minor Twitter mention, you know, or TwitPic or, you know, Facebook posting might be a perfect lead for an investigator to kind of launch him in a different direction than he was starting in. As far as vetting and validating that information, what we do is we try to get as close to the source as possible. So if, you know, Sally Sue writes on there that her boyfriend, you know, just took an extended vacation, and you realize that you've been investigating this boyfriend because he's bringing drugs in and out of the country, you might say, okay, we actually, the source in that case is going to be him. I mean, you're going to actually do your footwork on this. Sometimes the source that we help helps us to make our information more relevant or to validate it and vet it will also be a government record. Government document might help substantiate something that someone's been making allegations of within their social networks.
As we look at the information, what is the best way to validate the information we're finding is correct? Are there any ways or different databases that are correct?
None of the databases are always going to be 100%. That's absolutely critical to know. In fact, one of the ways we help validate our data is by subscribing to multiple databases. This way we can compare what we're analyzing as far as addresses and phone numbers and locations and whatnot in that public record world. But what we also will do is we'll try to get within that jurisdiction, wherever that person is, we'll try to actually get our hard copy of the actual government document. When you're talking about information that could be considered hearsay, things that are posted again on Twitter or Facebook, you really can't validate it. You just have to consider it as a lead, or I like to call it intelligence, not evidence.
That's a great point on the differentiation of those two. As you mentioned, there is an enormous amount of resources available to conduct searches. How do you choose which sites to utilize?
An investigator and his websites and his databases is always like a personal treatment. And I have to laugh because some investigators are absolutely militant about not telling you, you know, who they're using or what they're using, which is ridiculous because it's really all just data in the end. It is a preference. So in my office, some of my analysts will choose an accurate database first, and then they'll use a clear database because it's what they like. It has lots to do with interface and customer service and all the things that we, you know, we take advantage of when we subscribe. But what we do stress, depending on the case, You know, if you're looking for assets, it's one thing. If you're looking for lost property, it's another. But what I do stress is that you use at least two of each kind of database in your investigation so that you can, again, compare the information you're getting from one database to another.
Great. And as we know, the financial climate in law enforcement is a constant struggle. Are there any pay resources that you recommend as a must-have to law enforcement agencies?
Absolutely. For as far as fee-based databases, and there are many, many free resources out there that they should be utilizing as well. But as far as fee-based resources, high on our list, and we've done the benchmark study on this, We think LexisNexis's Accurate product is still excellent. I like Thomson Reuters Clear. That's the old ChoicePoint database. TLO from Hank Asher is an excellent resource and very affordable for law enforcement. Tracers Info, one other database that many investigators aren't even aware of because they targeted the private investigative market and not the law enforcement market necessarily. But Tracers Info has got some really keen data, especially when it comes to internet investigations, because they're capturing IP addresses. There's a strength to each one of these particular services. I would say, as far as cell phones, getting cell phone information, wants and warrants, which police will probably already have, other real unique data, Tracers Info is probably the best source out there. Then Clear is really strong in their web analytics tool. While you're doing your searches on addresses and phone numbers, they're also trying to find any matches for your internet searches. Accurant has just been a solid source forever. I love their People at Work program. Helps me define where this person might be during the day. And TLO, which is very new on the market yet and is going through some bumps and bruises right now just as a company, but has really, really set a very high standard as to what kind of data could be obtained. So all four of those are definitely four that we have in this office.
And as you mentioned, there are multiple free resources as well. Can you give us some of your favorites as far as using a free resource?
Oh, free resources. Well, you know what? LinkedIn, Facebook, and you think, well, those are social networks. By doing searches in them, you'll get more information you could possibly imagine. Twitter's still an excellent resource. But if we're going to go back more towards, say, like the public record searching, brbpublications.com is one link to every state in the country. From Alabama to Wyoming, it's a complete breakdown of what public records are available in each county. So if you're an Idaho detective and you're working on a case out in New Jersey, you're not really sure about what to look for in New Jersey, you go to BRB Publications. And then you'll see the New Jersey link, and it'll tell you all what's available for free or maybe for a nominal cost. That's definitely one of my favorites there. Then we have GuideStar to look up, or actually I should say GuideStar.org. It's an ORG to look up charities for nonprofit fraud. That's a big one in my arsenal. I still love the old tried and true Wayback Machine on archive.org. That helps me look at websites going back to 1996 where I could kind of put together who knew who when. MaxMind is a big one, and that's really what's been carrying us the last 6 months when we want to look up the physical address to an IP address. MaxMind has got a definite share on that. And all of these sites, Elizabeth, are free.
And that's a very good list of resources. Podcasts that we've done so far, you've mentioned different ones than they have, which just shows the great resources that are out there that people need to reach out and talk to you or somebody else near them, that all that resources can be shared. Now that we have a good idea of what resources are available, Cynthia, do you have any tips or tricks to ensure that we are searching correctly?
Absolutely. First of all, take time to learn the resources that you're using. Always the first hour of any class I teach is always about Google, because I know you're using Google. I know Google is, you know, the first thing everybody goes to do any types of searches. Learn how to use Google smartly to shorten up your searches. Understand how they rank pages. You know, Google algorithm is based on popularity, so the most popular websites, i.e. Facebook, will always appear in the first five links. Knowing that, that tells me that the least popular material ends up at the bottom. And if somebody has purposely massage their own profile and optimize their own search engine analytics, they may have forced real key information for an investigation to the last 10 links and not the top 10. So knowing and understanding how to do those types of searches is critical for any investigator. You know, we don't want police officers sitting behind computers 8 hours a day trying to figure out what one link out of 700,000 matches shows up. You know, I want them to sit down and have like 20 links to look through. And through our classes, we teach them how to tighten up those searches and get the best results to the top quickly.
Great. And as we look at the internet and internet investigations, keeping up with the technology that goes with that is crucial in this industry. Can you share with us any websites that provide up-to-date information for new resources?
Kind of a combination of things. And I'm smiling and looking at this question that you're asking me, or I'm hearing this question you're asking me, and I'm thinking one of the reasons that our company is so successful is because we keep investigators up to date on what's out there. So I don't want to self-promote, but our newsletter is really what we're talking about, is what websites are good for investigations. Now, where do we get our information from? I'll tell you that. I follow blogs by lawyers who talk about social media and the law and how that's changing. I read an incredible amount of journals and follow in LinkedIn groups and other places, librarian and information technology groups. Librarians tend to always be on the forefront of what new resources are available because this is our industry. We're information specialists that, you know, need to focus and be in front of our clients. But also the technology side, because as on the technology side, they'll be introducing new websites that are out there. So LinkedIn can be a great resource if you join the right forums. Finally, affiliates like search. You know, if you take time and actually just crawl through your website, they'll find podcasts, a long list of internet investigation sites. I use search. I look at also the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners, as is all those associations as well. So it really comes from everywhere. There's no one particular post. But if you want to be like that guy that just gets a newsletter, you know, that would be what we would do to you. We would inform you 8 times a year what's up, what's relevant, and you know, what you need to be aware of.
And definitely, I think belonging to that newsletter of yours, and we'll get more information about that in just a minute, I think that that's a very good alternative, if you will, to training, which is very cost prohibited these days with law enforcement. So that being said, you mentioned your newsletter. Do you have any other listservs that you recommend, or any training alternatives or training programs that are lower cost or at no cost, maybe online, that you can suggest?
Well, there's always an opportunity. I mean, I must get 1,000 emails a day about ours being offered. And there are quite a few from companies that, you know, what they do is they offer you a free webinar and they get to, you know, talk about their product for 5 minutes. If you can endure the product's pitch, you get some great speakers. So I know I do a lot of speaking for these groups. And I just did one for a company out of Canada called iSight. They put analytical software together. And we had over 1,000 attendees. Yeah, it was huge because it was free. So there are some great opportunities. And mentioned listservs. I still find the High Tech Crime Investigators Association, or HTCIA's listserv. That's a forum of law enforcement and industry folks that are trying to help each other out in the computer forensics world. When we see new websites come up or some new information, we share there for a lot of training as well, and they have different groups. And sometimes training might come across as expensive when you go to national events. Look locally within your own community. Sometimes there's just little lunch and learns being offered. I know coming in January, my office, we're going to be doing lunch and learns here in northern New Jersey. Once a month, we're going to have a different topic for lunch. And, you know, we're going to basically do that to kind of get our community involved in this type of industry. But in addition, we're going to offer very low-cost webinars monthly, probably $39 to register for a 90-minute webinar, which can be great. You know, you can pick up, especially for my cops, you know, you could pick up a lot of new resources very quickly. And the great news is that it's DHS certified, NASBA certified, ACFE certified, and ASIS certified. So the class pretty much counts for whoever needs credits in any venue.
Those are all great resources, and especially on the webinars, because then, you know, nobody has to leave their office, or they can maybe use their iPad as they're in between calls and make sure that the time their time is accounted for, and they're also getting training in. It's a great combination.
It's what we're being asked to do. I travel the world teaching this. I travel over 200 days a year and teach at over 80 different venues. So I would like to stay in my office for a change. And I've been teaching, as I mentioned, in law enforcement for almost 20 years. I can see where the budgets are really crunching. You can actually watch what states do send law enforcement and which ones don't. So I want to make sure I get this information to, you know, the guys and gals in blue there, because then what they do ultimately protects us. And trying to keep it at a very reasonable cost and giving them relevant information on a monthly basis, I think is an excellent way to do that.
I agree. Cynthia, as we look at this industry, what is one thing that you think every law enforcement officer should have in their tool bag to be able to conduct an investigation?
Analytical ability. Now, that's a very 50,000 foot view. An analytical ability to me just translates down into tenacity. And it's especially important with online investigations, because you can really while away the whole day, you know, looking at your Google results and crawling through people's Facebook accounts. So knowing that there's something out there, it can be very hard. It's very much a needle in a haystack. With good tenacity and great analytical ability, you eventually will find it. That said, that's kind of a personality tool bag item I want you to have. The other tool bag item that you need to have, the real resource or tactile one that you'll need, is knowledge and understanding of social networks. Police tend to be resistant to joining social networks because of the obvious security implication and the lack of security. I'm not asking them to go up there and start telling the world when they're having their coffee or doing their laundry. What I expect of them, though, is that they understand how other people use Facebook and how they share information in there and how they connect with others. Because every single case, what we said 20 years ago was, back then it was a big surprise, every single case involved a computer back then. Now every single case involves someone's social network profile. So if they understand and they've got a good grasp and understanding of how to investigate in social networks and how to use the other online sources like Google and Bing and the other great tools we talked about, they're going to be so ahead of the game. They're going to make so much great work on their desktops before they ever even have to go out into the field.
Absolutely. You know, as you mentioned, the tenacity of the investigators, you know, we like to remind people in classes that we can only rely on technology so much, and then it's good old-fashioned police work, but that technology gives them that lead, that gives them that edge to know what to follow up on first and maybe what steps to take instead of the long way around of boots on the ground all the time.
That's exactly it. This is your intelligence analyst doing the work up front so that you're smart in the field.
Great. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to share your knowledge with us. In closing, I'd like to get your final thoughts on using the internet to assist investigators in any type of searches and what you see for the future that's coming up.
The big key here is, even though it seems like the internet has been around forever, it's still relatively very new for a lot of individuals. So if you're a police officer just getting involved with this, you're really not that far behind the curve. I could tell you, as far as trending is concerned, the influx of social networks has actually made our work easier. And by easier, I mean what used to be something that we'd have to gather by interviewing neighbors or going after the trash on the front lawn to try to get details or finding the ex-wives and husbands, we can now find by just doing a couple keystrokes and doing our internet searches. What we see specifically as far as a big problem coming up in the future for fraud is the use of social networks to raise money, either for victims of a hurricane or, you know, tsunami or Haiti or any one of these other groups. So there's a lot more online solicitation. It's called crowdfunding. There's a lot more online solicitation for this type of event. And having just undergone a hurricane here in New Jersey, you know, I've watched the actual groups popping up now saying we're raising money for this and we're raising money for that. And no one is fraud checking any of these groups. Just as a final note, I always tell my law enforcement community this. I'm a librarian first. If you have a problem, if you have a stumper that you can't figure out, if you're not sure of a web resource or you need a second pair of eyes to help you with your online investigations, you're more than welcome to email me. I'm more than happy to share my information with you and to assist in any way I can. If you really want to stay on top of this, subscribe to the Data to Know online newsletter. You go to DATA, the number 2, KNOW.com, and you'll see the issues that are up there. It's a paper subscription, so we actually mail it out to you. You could subscribe and get back issues. In the coming year, we've got 8 wonderful new ideas coming around, so we're really going to see a lot of real great growth there. And just in closing, I just would like to thank all the law enforcement community for doing a great job. I get to fly the skies and walk around quite comfortably, knowing that I'm, you know, in a nice and secure area because you guys are doing your job. So I'll do whatever I can to help you do from my point of view.
Perfect. I sure appreciate that. And Cynthia, just one more thing. Can you provide some contact information if somebody had some questions for you?
Sure. To reach me, my website is heatheringtongroup.com. That's HEATHERINGTONGROUP.com. And you can also email me at CH@heatheringtongroup.com. That is the best way to reach me. You can also look for me on LinkedIn. And Twitter handle is Data to Know, DATA, the number 2, KNOW.
Perfect. Thank you so much for all your information and sharing all of your insight. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Much appreciate.
Thank you for taking the time to join us for this conversation. This project was supported by Cooperative Agreement number 2009-BEBX-K030 with the Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, Bureau of Justice Assistance. Points of view or opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the guest and moderators and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. From all of us here at Search, thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you will join us again for another edition of Search's High Tech Crime Podcast Series.